Welcome to the Christchurch London podcast. This is a talk from our Stockwell service. To find out about upcoming talks at each of our services, or to listen to other talks, please visit christchurchlondon.org.
This is from Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Would you join me welcoming Helen?
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lars. Appreciate that. Who likes cheese strings? Yeah. I hate them. You want a cheese string? You can have a cheese string. Personally, I think they're like a couple of molecules away from plastic. But my kids love them. So as an occasional treat, we get a cheese string. And Tammy had a cheese string the other day, and she said, "Mummy, these are holy." And she did this. She said, "Look, Mummy." It's because this is how you eat cheese strings. I'm going to need to put something down here. There's a lot going on here. Okay, here we go. She said, "Cheese. Cheese. Jesus." So see, they're holy. We're trying to introduce our kids to Jesus, but I fear something may have gone terribly wrong. Anyway, you may be wondering, well, why? Why indeed? Well, how many of you care about our local community? Show your hands. We love our local community here in South London. And how many of you would like to see our community come to know Christ and maybe even join our amazing church? Yes. Well, good news. Britons, our new monarch, King Charles III, is offering us an opportunity to come together with our local community and get to know our local community. Now, this road here, which I'll point with my flag, Stockwell Park Road, and the residents in these areas right around Platanos College are coming together in Slade Gardens for a coronation picnic on the afternoon of the 7th of May. Cha-cha-cha! There's going to be music, bubbles, games, kids' entertainment. And I would love it if you guys would join me and my family and bring a picnic and come to Slade Gardens and get to know our local community. Who's with me? Yay! Gosh, I thought it was just going to be no one for a second there. You can purchase tickets online, and I will send out a link on our WhatsApp group and try and get it included in the notices as well. You can book, and you can bring a picnic, and it's going to be loads of fun. And, you know, just let's show people how to picnic, yeah? We're not going to do like this is not a mad dash to Lidl thing. This is a boaters and, I would say cucumber sandwiches, but really I prefer jollof rice and puff puff, but I'm not sure we're the right crowd for that. But yes, let's turn out with a really great picnic and great enthusiasm, because this is going to be a really wonderful opportunity to get to know our local community. Yes? Yes! Wonderful. I'll take my crown off. But I am still crowned with goodness and loving kindness. Right. Well, I wish I could tell you that to be an apprentice of Jesus, all we had to do was eat some cheese strings. But I have learned that this is not the case. But what I do know to be the case is that one touch from the real Jesus can change your life forever. If you want it to. Now imagine a man, if you will, who's in his mid-30s. He's got a couple of children. He's got one on the way. He's got a wonderful wife. Their marriage has had its ups and downs, but they've always managed to work things out. He's got a good job. He's got a plot of land, and in that land, he's building a home for his family, and he's also working his job. One day he comes home from work and he's got a sore on his hand from using a tool in a particular way, and it's really painful. And it's fine. He takes it easy for that evening, but he kind of goes back to work and the sore just keeps getting larger and larger. It doesn't really hurt, but it is preventing him from doing a few bits and bobs. And as the days go on and it gets larger, they both start to get a bit alarmed. So they go and see a skin specialist to see what he says. And he kind of says, you know, it's hard to determine, but I've got a few theories. What I really need is to observe you for a few days and just see what happens. And so they do this, but over 2 weeks, the sore just gets bigger and bigger, and now it's almost covering his whole hand. And it's white around the edges. It's not causing pain. But it looks pretty horrific. And at the end of these 2 weeks, the guy comes and says, I've figured out what you have, and I'm really sorry to say that you have leprosy. You're going to have to leave your wife and children, your land, your home, your job, and go off to live with the other lepers behind the town. Hearing this, the man is terrified. It is a death sentence. The process of dying by leprosy is worse than dying itself. In most cases, the body of the person just slowly rots to pieces while the person inside continues to live. But this is not what terrifies the man. He's not afraid of dying. He's not even afraid of the process of dying. What he is afraid of is the complete separation and isolation that is about to begin. Although the physical ravages of leprosy are bad, the mental and emotional damage it causes are even worse. Lepers were required to keep as far away from all healthy people as possible. And if somebody who was a leper was approached by somebody else, they'd have to shout, unclean, unclean. They were never allowed to be near their loved ones again. But this guy's leprosy, it hadn't gone that far. Maybe he could go home and kiss his wife goodbye and maybe hug his children. But he was told, no, I'm really sorry. You cannot ever go home. You cannot ever hold your wife in your arms again. You cannot ever wrestle with your son or kiss your daughter goodnight. If you see them and touch them, they may get leprosy themselves. If you love them, you will never go near them again. So the man goes off alone to rot, to die. He couldn't even have an animal for companion, because if he petted the dog, even the head of a dog, that dog would have to be killed so it didn't carry the leprosy into town. This man truly lived a horrible life. His family would come and bring him food every day, but they couldn't get close. They would leave it in a certain place on a rock, and then when they withdrew, he would go and pick it up and eat it. And this way he watched his children grow up, yet was never able to touch them. He watched his wife cry, but was never able to comfort her. After several years of this, he started to wish that they wouldn't come. It wasn't that he didn't want to see them, of course he did, but he didn't want them to see him. He'd already lost an ear and several of his fingers and some toes. His face was horribly disfigured. His hair was falling out. According to Jewish law, he wore rags for clothes. His hair was to be uncovered and disheveled, and he covered his face with a cloth. He knew he looked repulsive, and he didn't want his family to remember him this way. Some days, he wished he would die. Then one day, something happened to this man and his family that they would never forget. Our man in the passage in Luke probably had a similar story to the one I've just told. Luke says in the passage that this guy was full, his body was full of leprosy. He didn't have a mild case of leprosy. He had it bad, and it likely looked pretty scary. Thankfully, leprosy is a disease that 95% of the world is now immune to. And if you do get it, there are medicines that can cure you. We thank God. However, left untreated as this man's was, it was a horrific disease. And it not only affects the skin, but it has an impact. It does damage to the body's central nervous system, causing numbness in the infected body parts. These same body parts, even they just eventually drop off until your whole body is gone. It's pretty horrific. But harder still, perhaps, is, there are still some people with leprosy, the way a person with this disease was treated. They are rejected, outcast from society, cancelled, treated like rubbish, feared, despised, rejected, scorned, and isolated. You may not have leprosy, but these may well be some feelings that you have experienced or are familiar with. So here he is, this guy, and he's full of leprosy, and one day he looks up and there's a small group of people coming. They're following a man, and this man is teaching them as he walks. And he's heard about this teacher that's in the region. And suddenly he hears the name Jesus, and he realizes that this is a guy that he would like to hear. But they're approaching him, and so he starts to shout, "Unclean! Unclean! I'm unclean! Don't come!" And immediately the men who are with Jesus shrink back. You can see the fear in their eyes. Because they know what to do. And he's seen it 1,000 times before. There's fear, loathing, revulsion. And he doesn't fault them for it. He understands. He would look at himself that way if the roles were reversed. But something strange happens. Even as the other men draw back, Jesus just keeps coming closer. And the man shouts, "Unclean, unclean." But Jesus keeps coming. "I'm unclean. Jesus, I'm unclean." But Jesus keeps coming. Jesus keeps coming. And he can't walk that fast because, you know, he's obviously got leprosy and his legs don't all work that well. But he's trying to get away. But Jesus just keeps on coming and keeps on coming. "Jesus, I'm unclean." And he starts to cover himself. But now Jesus is so close, he catches his eyes and he sees something there that he has not seen in another human being for many, many years. He doesn't see loathing, he sees concern. He doesn't see fear, he sees sympathy. He doesn't see rejection, he sees love. And when he sees this in Jesus, he falls to his knees. And it says, he begs him, and it says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Do you sometimes feel like people treat you like you have a strange disease? Do you sometimes feel mistreated, misunderstood, unfairly judged, looked over or looked down upon? Do what this man did. Cry out to God. The text says that he implored Jesus. He begged him. It's more than a request. It's more than a prayer. It's an all-out pleading and tearful and earnest begging. You see, all too often, we approach God in fear and not in faith. Fear that what we're going to ask him, he's either not capable of or he doesn't love us enough to do it. So instead of crying out, "Lord, make me clean," we kind of hedge our bets and, you know, "Lord, if you have time today, and if it's your will, and if you think it's a good idea, then I would really love healing, or maybe at least just feel a bit better. I mean, only if it's okay." And I've been there when we phrase things in a way that if God doesn't come through, my faith isn't too damaged and I can still believe in him. I know I have been there. I've been isolated, alone, helpless and hopeless, surrounded by confusion, darkness and voices telling me it's not going to ever get better. But just like this man, I too came to a place where I was a little bit fed up with these prayers. I knew that I could not deal with this on my own any longer, that I need help, and not the kind of help that a human being can give me. I need help from a higher power. I need God's help. I need divine help. I need Jesus. Notice he didn't implore the disciples. They'd whipped out the back way anyway. He didn't turn to the priests. And I'll be the first to tell you, Lars and Meta are wonderful people. Me and Shaninga are wonderful people. Andy and Joy, David and Philippa, your community leaders are wonderful people, people of faith, and we're really fortunate to have such strong leaders around us. But I can tell you this, they cannot heal you, and they cannot set you free. There is only one. There is only one. And his name is Jesus. And he is not only able, but he is willing. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. How many years had it been since this man had been touched by another human? How many years had it been since someone had just done something as simple as squeeze his shoulder? How many years had it been since he had just even had a hug? He couldn't even touch a dog without the dog being killed. And Jesus knew this. Jesus could have healed him without touching him. He could have healed him with one word, but Jesus knew this man needs something more than healing. He needs love. And actually, the Greek translation puts it quite strongly, and it says that he took hold of him. So maybe he put his arms around his shoulders, maybe he squeezed him hard, but he took hold of him. Jesus knew how much this man needed healing, but more still, he needed love. Christ was not scared of his sores. He was not put off by his rotting flesh. He is not afraid of our ugliness or our brokenness. His touch said, "I am with you. I sympathize with you when no one else does. I understand. I love you." And Jesus is saying the same thing here today. "I am here with you. I sympathize with you when no one else does. I understand you. I love you." Jesus touched the man to show him he loved him. Beyond this, I believe that Jesus shows love to the leper for also another reason. Earlier, he had just called four men to be his disciples, and he told them, "If you follow me, I will make you fishers of men." And this was the first fishing lesson. Jesus is telling them, if you want to catch men, you first need to love them. Jesus is showing them how to become fishers of men. Reach out and touch someone. Look past the scars and the wounds and the rotting flesh, the missing fingers and toes, and just love them. If we want our neighbors to become Christians, the first thing we need to do is show them Christian love. Over Easter, we had the great privilege of visiting Rome with the kids. Have you ever been to Rome? It's a beautiful place. Not sure I'd recommend it with kids, but we had a great time. We did a lot of walking, and I think we went into every ice cream shop in Rome. We had a great time. And while we were walking one day, and just like London, Rome's got quite a lot of homeless people. And we were walking up some steps, and they were quite narrow steps. And we sort of came to them. It was me and Tammy and Layla. And as we approached the steps, we could see there was a lady who was homeless who was sitting in the midway up the steps. And she was quite a big lady, actually. So she took up quite a lot of the steps. So you had to kind of really purposefully go around her. She was quite difficult to kind of ignore. And she had her begging pot up. And we kind of were running along. Layla sort of saw her and was like, "Oh, Mommy, that's an awkward thing." Tammy, on the other hand, was like, "Aha, a sitting duck." And she marched up to this lady and she just flung her arms around her and gave her the biggest hug. And the lady was quite taken aback at first. And then, you know, she completely melted and started to hug Tammy back. She forgot about her pot. She forgot about everything. She started to well up with tears, as did I. And they had a very lovely moment for quite a few moments, actually, when I think about it. I was like, okay, this is taking quite a long time. And then the lady, she just looked at me. She said, oh, grazie. She was so happy. And then she said, Buona Pasqua, which means Happy Easter. And Tammy looked at her and she said, Buona Casca. And off she went. And I just thought to myself, this is what Jesus would have done. This is exactly how Jesus is. He's not put off by awkward moments or difficult situations. He just wants to reach out and connect. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testament to them." So the Old Testament had the Old Testament law had offerings and ceremonies for people who had been cleansed of leprosy, and obviously these cleansings, such cleansings were quite rare. In fact, up until this point, we only read of three people who'd been cleansed of leprosy, Moses, Miriam, and Nahum. Cleansing from this form of leprosy was always miraculous. So when this man shows up cleansed and healed at the priest's doorstep, this priest would have known that something amazing had just taken place in the town. Possibly this could have been the priest who had pronounced the man unclean. And now here he was again, but this time he was whole and healed. The religious leaders of the day had a list of signs and that the Messiah was coming. And one of them was the healing of those with leprosy. So when he appears to the priests, this was Jesus' way of saying, go and show them this, because this should be a sign for them. But as we know, the priests, they were not too happy about it, and they kind of were in a bit of denial about it. I also think there's another reason why Jesus told him to go to the priests. It says, I'm going to come to that later. It says that the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. So obviously, even though Jesus had told him, don't tell anyone, it was kind of impossible. He obviously told the priests, he was told to go and tell the priests, which he did. And then he went home to his family and there was much rejoicing. I'm sure the neighbors found out. I'm sure it spread like wildfire through the town that this amazing thing had happened. And so the report went round concerning him all the more. But look what happened next. It says great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of him, of their infirmities. So they came to be healed of their sicknesses. They didn't want to worship God. They only wanted healing. They wanted to come and get from Jesus what they needed, which was healing. They came to him for quite selfish reasons and not for spiritual reasons. And my previous point, which I thought I was going to make, but I think I should have made, was this, that I believe there was another reason that Jesus sent him. Well, there was another reason Jesus sent him to the priests to follow the commands of Moses. It says, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Jesus was asking him to obey the law and to go and worship by obeying. And you see, when the crowds came, they didn't come for worship. They came for healing. And they came because they wanted to get something from Jesus. Sometimes I think we can be the same. Very few of us, honestly, today want to just give God praise and that's it. We come and we want to see what God will give us. Very few of us today want to feed on the word, but we will gladly come when there's a free meal. When Jesus fed the 5,000, he had crowds of people following him for more food after that. But then that's when he turned to them. He said, no, You don't need the food. I am the bread of life. You see, Jesus wants to meet our physical needs. He wants people to come to him so that they can get their needs met. But Jesus wants to meet our greatest need, which is that of eternal life. He wants us to seek him for spiritual healing, not just for physical healing. These people came to get what they wanted out of Jesus. And so look what the Lord did. It says that the Lord retreated from them. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus was always steering clear of the theatrics of ministry. He didn't want the spotlight or the headlines. He just wanted an ongoing, intimate fellowship with God. And for that, he had to withdraw from the people who clamored for his attention and go out into the wilderness to pray. Jesus teaches us here how important prayer is. He shows us how vital it is to keep communication with God central in our lives. This is especially true when we are busy. Sometimes the best thing we can do in the midst of the rush of life is to slow down and listen to God. Is your life a rush? Are people and events clamoring for your attention? The best thing you can do is to withdraw from them and spend time in prayer. Martin Luther, the great reformer, used to spend 3 hours a day in prayer. And when asked what he did on really busy days, he said he spent 4 hours a day in prayer. Well, he knew what his priorities were, and so did Jesus. Our fellowship and closeness with God is our number one priority if we're going to be effective in our service to him. And I'm preparing to close now, but my question is, do you want to be touched by Jesus? Or do you want to have the strength and courage and power to touch others with the love of Christ? I would encourage you to do what we see Jesus doing here in verse 16. Make time with God your priority. If you want to be touched by Jesus, go and spend as much time with him as you can. Like this guy with leprosy, go seek him out, fall on your face, humble yourself, spend time in the word, spend time praying, make him a priority and he will touch you. And if you want to be able to share the love of Christ with others, you must let him love you first. Seek him out, sit at his feet and learn from him. Follow him around the Gospels, watching what he does, listening to what he says. Give yourself to being his apprentice. Can I invite the band back? Thank you. So as I close this morning, I want to invite you to stand to your feet if you are able. Now close your eyes for a moment and think about who you are in this story. Are you the man with leprosy who felt outcast and mistreated? Are you the priest who, despite seeing the signs of the Messiah, you're in denial that he is here? Are you the crowd who just wants something from Jesus so you can go along your merry way? Do the sacrifices seem too great? Or are you Jesus? Are people clamoring for your attention? Are you poured out, spent, tired, unable to see who your friends are from those who just want to use you? Maybe you're all of these. I know I can identify with most of them. As we worship, let's meditate on what we've heard and think about what our response is going to be. Are we going to say, okay, that's nice what you've said, I'll listen to the song and then I'll go back to my old ways because that's what I know? Or are we willing to cry out, fall on our knees, Lord, if you are willing, make me clean. Forgive me for ever doubting that you are able and that you love me. Heal me, make me whole. Are we able to admit, Jesus, it is you? I can no longer deny it. You are the Messiah. You are the only one who can help me. I see you, I believe you, and I need a relationship with you. Are we willing to go beyond what God has for us and reach out for the eternal life that he is offering? Are we able to do what Jesus did and silence the clamor of the crowd by retreating into a lonely place to pray, laying down our busyness and going after our Father? You see, God sees our brokenness and he raises us a relationship. If you are in need of healing, Jesus wants to meet that need. But more still, he wants to meet your greatest need, that of eternal life and relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. Let's worship and then we'll pray together.